All right, 10:01 and all's well. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church, both all of you who are here in person and those of you who are online on time or deferred. Wherever you're coming from, wherever you're bringing with you from this week, we pray you will experience the restoring presence of the living Jesus here today. I have a few announcements that started printed, but then they got notes, so just, I'll be a minute. Thank you to all of you who attended the picnic on Saturday, and also to all of you who brought food to the picnic. It was a great event, and of course, we must provide a special thank you to the Knuckles, Charles and Ronnie. Thank you very much. Even though it seemed hot, it wasn't. We were in the shade, the breeze was blowing, Ronnie was fanning us, it was great. Now, as a result of the picnic, there are bags of leftover chicken strips, which were really delicious, but we didn't have enough people to eat them all. Anyway, they're in their refrigerator in Holman Hall, and those can be picked up taken home with you. There are also some jugs of tea that are in the refrigerator there, and Eileen is supervising the tea distribution, so you can see her about that. And there are some vegetables from the Bryan Garden that are there to be taken as well. The first crop has come in. Today we are blessed to have guest musicians with us. One of whom you already know is John Bullard, who's going to be playing the banjo today. There's the banjo, but no John. But he's been learning and practicing and playing the banjo for 50 years. So we'll really have a good time listening to that. And then we have a guest violinist who is appropriately named Violaine Michel. And She's up front here, and we're really looking forward to hearing her play today. And of course, Marcus, you're still here. That's great. We still need some items for Operation Christmas Child Collection for June. There's a bulletin board that's set up beautifully down the hall by Holman Hall, and you will be able to look at that and understand what the needs are. It's also in the weekly bulletin that gets sent to you by email for those of you who only react to emails rather than beautiful bulletin boards. Let's see if I've missed anything here. No. Okay, so today after the service, we won't be roasting outside. We'll be in Holman Hall for fellowship and refreshments as described and a few surprises that are there. So please join us after the service. Having said those announcements that are on the sheet, are there any other announcements that anybody would like to bring forth? That was enough, wasn't it? Okay, so join us now to prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Thank you. just beautiful. Thank you, Marcus and Violin, for that music, which should put everybody in just the right spirit. Please rise and join me, as you're able, as we're called to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of God's name. Make his praise glorious.
All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name.
The same God who has called you to worship now greets you with these words: grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, from whom comes every good and perfect gift, and who pours out on all who desire it the gifts of grace and supplication, deliver us when we draw close to you from coldness of heart and wandering minds, that with steadfast thoughts and kindled affections we may truly worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Now for the call to confession and our prayer of confession. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. Trusting in the mercy of God in Jesus Christ, let us humbly confess our sins together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As we turn to God's word, let us pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, you have in various times and through various means revealed yourself to us, your people, and you have preserved your word through the ages in the Holy Scriptures. And so, Lord, as we come to read your word and hear your gospel proclaimed, by the power of the Holy Spirit, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive what you have to speak to us this day. And add your own seal of approval, we pray, to the reading of your word. Through Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue this week with our series through the Psalms, which we're calling Summer in the Psalms. Last week, we just kicked it off, so we were in Psalm 1, and this week we are in Psalm 2. As I told you last week, the Psalms are central to Christian spirituality. And something I wanted to bring back to the fore as we read and as we move forward, something to keep in mind, is that the Psalms, by their very nature, are sort of a paradox. They are both our words to God in terms of their people's prayers and people's songs directed often to God. but they're also, as they are the inspired word of God, they are God's word to us. So they have something to teach us, we have something to receive from them, but we can also take these words and enter them into our own prayer life and speak them back to God. And what better words to speak to God than God's own words to us? And so as we read, especially this week, as we read through the second psalm, you'll hear both of these sort of our words and God's words mixed together. So let us turn to God's word, Psalm 2. Listen now. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord has them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, "I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.' Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. With trembling, kiss his feet, or he will be angry, and you will perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Happy are all who take refuge in him. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now, you probably couldn't tell it by the number of books in my study, but I have not always been that big of a reader. Case in point, early on, after I learned, you know, to read chapter books, whenever I was tasked with tackling a piece of nonfiction, it was especially nonfiction, the first thing I would do was skip the introduction altogether. In my mind, in those days, it was really just a waste of time, because I was told it was just going to summarize what was to come, and what I was really looking for was in the chapters. So I would just skip it all together. I could get back to what I really wanted to do if I just could read through it faster. It wasn't until I got sort of serious about reading and understanding that I realized you can miss a lot when you skip the beginning. Now, it's the same with the book of Psalms. If you skip over the introduction, you're going to be lost throughout the rest. Psalms 1 and 2 are our introduction to the book of Psalms, and they set the tone for the whole book. And they give us a picture of the themes which are pervasive throughout. Last week we saw in Psalm 1 that the psalmist lays out two distinct kinds of people. On the one hand, those who are blessed, those who are in covenant relationship with the Lord, those who delight in God's word. And on the other hand, the wicked, those who are like chaff and will ultimately perish. You see, Psalm 1 is an immensely individual and even personal picture of the types of comparisons that the book of Psalms makes as a whole. Our passage this morning, however, Psalm 2, widens this picture a little bit, bringing it out from the individual to encapsulate the peoples and the nations of the world. If Psalm 1 is about one's relationship to God's way, Psalm 2 is about one's relationship to God's reign. Relationship to God's way, relationship to God's reign. The psalm begins with a world in uproar. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The New King James Version reads, "Why do the nations rage?" Now, in the events most recently in our world, it's not hard to imagine nations raging. But the psalmist gets specific here. He says that these people and nations, their rulers, have set themselves, it says, verse 2, against the Lord. Now, the whole of the Old Testament is filled with testimonies concerning those nations who set themselves against the Lord. And what defines them across the board is that they are ultimately unjust. Unjust. The prophet Ezekiel, for example, speaking of Sodom's guilt, says she had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy. That's chapter 16, verse 49. Peoples and nations, the Bible says, that set themselves against God are those who oppress the poor and needy, who trample the widow and the orphan, who do not come to the aid of the immigrant or the afflicted. I hear echoing throughout this Jesus' words, "You shall know them by their fruit." Psalm 2 shows that these nations not only reject God's way, but they set themselves against the Lord in creating their own rival, unjust kingdoms. And they are indeed rivals because they have not only set themselves against the Lord, but also against his anointed, the one whom God has set as king on Zion. Now let me take a step back here for a moment and just say one thing. When the psalmist was writing about the anointed, he probably had King David in mind. The Bible calls the anointed King David throughout the Old Testament scriptures, also the son of David, that type of language. But as we've seen redemptive history unfold, we have come to know the fullness of God's anointed as the God-man Jesus. For the word Messiah means anointed. Messiah is king. Whereas the kingdoms of this world, we're told, are based on injustice and oppressive power, Jesus' kingdom is based on loving God and loving neighbor, even loving our enemies and praying for those who persecute us, on not being served, but serving. Messiah's kingdom is characterized by helping the least and the lost. You shall know them by their fruits. This is the kingdom whose king himself was humbled even to the point of death on the cross, all for the sake of the lost. Now, if this were a boxing match, and I'll ask you to go with me here a little, if this was a boxing match and we had on the one side the nations of the world's champion and the kingdom of Jesus's champion on the other, we would be tempted to root for the nations. From our earthly vantage point, they have the power. They have the strength. They even, it seems, have the successes. They may be unjust, but you know, we can put that aside if we're on the winning side. Messiah's kingdom, however, seems only weak, only powerless, without fame or fortune. It says, "Turn the other cheek." It says, "Blessed are the lowly." In worldly terms, it seems that the odds are stacked in the nation's favor, and they think so too. But in reality, Psalm 2 shows us that it is God who will have the last laugh. The peoples and the nations think they pose a real threat to Messiah's kingdom, but they are no threat at all. In heaven's eyes, that which they thought was power is actually weakness. And that which is weak, God uses to show forth his glory and power. For the king who bore the shame of the cross is the same who was raised 3 days later in majesty. The nations are his heritage. The ends of the earth are his portion. The unjust peoples of the world will find that their way perishes under the wrath of this king. Now, wrath is a big, scary church word. But what it really means, when you get down to it, is God's justice against the unjust. When Jesus comes in final victory to judge the living and the dead, we will find that the weak and the oppressed are vindicated and the unjust oppressors put to shame. Now, as we read this, we'll be tempted to put that as an out here problem. We know what nations they're talking about. It's this one, and it's this one, and it's this one, and it's not us, or it's not me. But the psalm is clear that any and every nation that in any way does not stand with the least of these actually sets themselves against God and against his anointed. We are surrounded by principalities and powers that promise the world in exchange for our allegiance. Just think about it. Governments, financial institutions, political parties, politicians, philosophies, and religions all vying for our trust. Each promise, power, prosperity, security, fame, all while establishing, as it were, their own unjust kingdoms. And the most devious of them all is often our own hearts. The kingdoms that we try to create for ourselves, the power that we try to gain for ourselves against another, against the Lord. And what we may find is that each will meet with God's justice in the end. Again, it's not just some. The psalm tells us it is all. But over and above all these earthly powers is another. And he is calling. Messiah Jesus calls you to trust him and so enter God's kingdom. He does not merely promise life and freedom, but he gives it just as surely as he gave his life on that cross. His kingdom is one of meekness, of love, of justice. And Jesus calls to you and he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." If we've been called by this Messiah, Jesus, we've been called and enter into his kingdom, we can't live like the world anymore. We can't live like the raging nations and the unjust peoples. We can only live according to his kingdom way. The question to you this morning is, in whom do you trust? Do you trust in the powers and the principalities of this world? They'll pass away. Or do you trust in the Lord and in his anointed? Do you trust in the Lord over all other sources of power and so-called protection? Do you trust in God's provision above all else? The Messiah's kingdom is worthy of your trust, of your allegiance. Jesus is worthy. So this day, enter Messiah's kingdom and choose Jesus. Happy are all who trust in him. Amen. Let us pray. Our good and gracious God, your kingdom is loving and just, and you call all to enter in through faith in Jesus Christ. Grant us grace, we pray, to listen and respond, and so find that blessed rest in your presence. Hear us now as we lift to you our prayers. Sovereign Lord, the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain, but your peace and righteousness will have the final word. Grant that your justice would be found in every land until that day when you come in glory. We pray, O Lord, for peace in the Middle East, that all players might come to the table and work for the common good of all those who find themselves weak and weary, lost and alone as a result of this warfare. And we pray, O God, for an end to warring in every place, even if just for a minute, so that there might be rest. Lord, we pray, bless all public servants, that they may truly serve and not be served, and work for all people, and for the building up of justice and peace wherever they may serve. And we thank you this morning for the talent that you give and that you spread in abundance, specifically the talent of music, of song and instrument. Lord, all these gifts you give, not simply because we needed something to do, but because you enjoy good and beautiful things. So we thank you for the gift of music. Blessed Messiah, you established your church as a foretaste of your kingdom to come. Grant that by the Spirit's work in us, we may begin to embody this reality more and more each day. We pray especially this day for the church in India, that they may stand firm in the midst of persecution and that they may be a present witness to your transforming grace. We pray for our mission partners, Frontier Fellowship, as they seek to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. Bless the work of their hands and prosper the good that they do in your name. And we pray, O Lord, for this congregation which you have called Hebron. Lord, give us eyes to see your vision for us and what you have called us to be in this day and age as we seek to make disciples and to proclaim Christ and him crucified. Spirit of the living God, you transform hearts and minds, opening the gates of life to all who come. Bless and comfort, we pray, all who suffer this day in body, mind, and spirit. Especially we commend into your hands those we name in the quiets of our hearts. O Triune God, we lift to you these our prayers, trusting in your wisdom and providential care. For we make our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself as an offering and sacrifice to God.
Let us pray.
Almighty and gracious God, you pour out your gifts in abundance upon us, and these are signs of your goodness and mercy. And so we give back just a portion of what you
have given us, that it may glorify you, that it may build up your kingdom until you come again in glory. And so we pray, bless and sanctify these gifts and help us to be good stewards of the same, so that we may truly glorify your name. Through Christ Jesus, amen. Nations may rage and the peoples might plot in vain, but the kingdom of our Messiah Jesus will have the final word. And so as you go from this place, go trusting in that Messiah and living the kingdom way. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day, always, and forever. Amen.